We don't believe in chance or luck or fate. We believe in the providence of God and the sovereignty of God, and it's by those things that Ben is here today. And so let's open our hearts as he gives the word to us. Please come.
Well, as Pastor Rick said, my name is Ben, and I'm currently working on my postgraduate degree in New Testament Studies at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And I have to say that I actually got sick this past few days, starting from Wednesday evening till Friday late night. And I was really worried that I would not get better in time to finish preparing for sermon and be up here and join you guys in worship. But man, praise God. By Saturday morning, I started feeling a lot better. And God gave me enough health to finish up my sermon and join you this morning. So I'm really excited to be here with you this morning and worshiping the Lord. And as you guys can probably tell, I am young, or at least I look young. And because of my age, whenever I guest preach at a church or at an event, I tend to speak to a congregation or to a group who's a bit older than me. And I say this all the time, but it's really my honor, and I'm just humble to be here. Because I know Christian life is not just about knowledge, right? It's not about how much you know, and it's certainly not about, you know, having getting a postgraduate degree in New Testament studies. But Christian life is about experience, living with God and walking with God. And I know that in this room, some of you guys have been walking with the Lord, and some of you guys have known the Lord longer than I have. So it really is my honor. And as one of my professors from seminary said, you can't do theology with a pen and a paper in a classroom, right? He says theology happens out there where people are, and I really agree with that. And just for an example, today we'll be talking about suffering, but we can't fully know and understand the theology of suffering simply by just reading books. Right? The only way we're going to know and understand this theology of suffering is by actually going through it and experiencing the love of God and the wisdom of God and his sovereign grace in the midst of our sufferings. So today I just hope that the Lord will use me, that he will speak powerfully through his word. So if you have your Bible, let's just turn there, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Let's just read just one more time together. And as you guys turn there, let me just give you a brief context of what we're looking at here. Romans was a letter written by Apostle Paul to a church in Rome. And in the previous chapters, the first three chapters, Paul talked about the human depravity, how we're all sinners, and how the wrath of God has been revealed to wickedness and all unrighteousness of man. But in chapter 4, the previous chapter, Paul, he says that, but the righteous are justified by faith. And he gives Abraham as an example, how Abraham was justified not by his works, but by faith. And so this theme of justification by faith is huge in chapter 4. And so with that in mind, let's read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I'll read for us. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. This passage has two parts. The first part is about the consequence of being justified by faith. and it is future-looking. And this is an eternal consequence, an eternal benefit of being justified by faith. And the second part of this passage, which is verses 3-5, it's about, you know, rejoicing in our suffering, but it's also about how the consequence of being justified by faith affects our present time. So the first part is about the future, but the second part is about the present time. And today I'd like to focus on the second part of this passage, but I can't talk about the second part without talking about the first, because how we rejoice in our suffering, it is affected by the benefits of justification by faith. So let's start with verse 1. So Paul begins by saying, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith." Now, he just summarized the chapter 4 right there. "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God." We have peace with God. This is one of the first benefits of being justified by faith. And this idea of having peace with God, it's really one of the central themes of the gospel. In the Old Testament, the goal of the prophets was to was for Israel to have peace with God, to have the right relationship with God again. And that goal has been realized through Christ in the New Testament. So through Christ, we have been reconciled, and we have this peace. And another thing that I want to just quickly point out here is that whenever the Old Testament talks about, you know, having peace with God, this idea of having peace with God, it is often talking about the future, the final day, the final judgment day, right? It is about having peace with God in the final judgment day. And Apostle Paul, being influenced by the Old Testament text, it's not as surprising to see that in this text, when the Apostle Paul says having peace with God, he's also referring to the future, the eschatology, or the last day, right? The final judgment day. And Paul goes on to verse 2, and he says, "Through him we have also obtained by faith." And this is another thing that we receive through Christ as a result of being justified by faith, that we have this access to this grace in which we stand. And this grace is what saves us. It's what keeps us, and it's what sustains us. And the Greek verb here, it really shows us, it indicates that this is an ongoing access, that this is not just one-time kind of grace that we experience, but this is the ongoing access that we experience in Christ. And this grace, it keeps us, and it sustains us, and it saves us. So through Christ, as a result of being justified by faith, we receive two things. We receive grace and peace. And as some of you guys may have known, those two words are Apostle Paul's two of favorite words. He uses those two words in his opening sections of his letters, right? Even in Romans 1, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God." Because grace and peace, it's a central themes of the gospel, and it's those two things are what we receive as we have been justified by faith, not by works. And he goes on, and he summarizes the first part of the passage by saying, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." He says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Another way to translate rejoice is boast. So we could say we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And this hope of the glory of God really is, it's this assurance and confidence in the promises of God that we will stand in the last day. And because we have this eternal peace and this ongoing access to this grace, that we will stand firm in the last day, in the final judgment. And now, it would have been really nice if we can just end it here, right? If Paul just ended it here, it would have been fine. It would have been a powerful message. But Paul, he goes on. He goes on to verse 3, and he says, "But not only that, we should also suffer. Not only that, we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, the word rejoice there is the same word. It could also be translated as boast. So we boast in our sufferings. But imagine if you just recently became a Christian, right? And you're reading this letter or you're hearing this letter being read out loud for the first time. And you're there and you're listening. And in the first three chapters, it's pretty depressing, right? It says that everyone's a sinner and God's wrath is poured out on everyone. It's pretty depressing. But in chapter four, you know, it gets a little hopeful because he talks about this justification by faith, and it's not by works, right? There's a hope. And in the first part of the chapter five, it gets even better because Paul also gives this benefits of being justified by faith. But in verse three, he says, but not only that, but we should also suffer. That we also rejoice, that we also boast in our sufferings. And that's very countercultural, right? And that's not just for Paul's days, but for our days as well, right? I mean, when was the last time that we really boasted in our sufferings, or we boasted in our pains, or... And I mean, oftentimes we hide, right? We don't want to talk about our sufferings. We're ashamed by them. And I shared with you that I got sick this past week, but I was actually sick again 2 weeks ago. I know I really need to take care of myself better, but man, like, I was sick. But not only that, I actually got into a minor car accident. And it was a day when it snowed about 6 to 8 inches. I don't know if you guys remember. Basically, my car slid and hit one of the cars in the parking lot. My alignment was definitely off, and you know, I dented my rim and my tire. But later I found out that I actually damaged my whole entire wheel, my front right wheel. So it actually got tilted in, right? So it wasn't straight anymore. So I had to replace a lot of things there, and I had to spend a lot of money. And my first question was, why, God? Why now? Lord, I'm a student, and like, I can't be doing this. I mean, I can't spend that much money, Lord. And I started complaining. But I'm in seminary, and I already have my Master of Divinity and whatever that means. And I started thinking, and I started telling myself, oh, you know what? But God is sovereign, and He knows everything, and He's in control. And I started thinking about these things, but I started getting more mad because I thought, if God is sovereign, then He could have prevented it, right? He could have prevented it, but He didn't. So I started getting more upset. And the whole day, I remember I'm just being just frustrated. And as I shared, I was sick this past few days, and I got sick Wednesday evening. But by Tuesday, I had finished maybe like half of my sermon. So I already knew what I was going to preach. I already knew what my main topic or my main idea was going to be about. But Wednesday evening, I got sick. And Thursday, it got worse. And Friday, it got worse. Man, and again, I asked the same question. Why? God, why now? I have to preach this Sunday, and I have, you know, this presentation on Monday. But it looks like we're going to have another storm, possibly, so the class will cancel. But I was getting all worried. I was like, God, why? Even though I knew that I was going to preach on this passage. So it's very unnatural for us to boast in our sufferings, right? It's very hard. But Paul says, but we also rejoice in our sufferings in verse 3. And he also gives reasons why we should boast in our sufferings. He says, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So suffering ultimately produces hope. And another thing that I want to briefly point out here before we go further on is this word knowing, where it says in verse 3, we rejoice in our sufferings knowing. This word in Greek, it's participle. And in English, we don't really talk about participles, right? I mean, we have participles, but we don't really talk about that. But in Greek, participles are everywhere. when you read the New Testament Greek, participles are everywhere. And simply the main function of that is to describe the main verb. That's it. It's kind of like an adverb for English, in English. So here, obviously, the main verb is we rejoice. But the participle knowing, the word knowing there, it indicates and it shows us not only why, but also how we rejoice in our sufferings. Notice Paul does not say we rejoice in our sufferings because a suffering ultimately produces hope. He doesn't use the word because, although that would have made perfect sense, it would have fit the context. But he specifically says, we rejoice in our sufferings knowing. And he's showing us not only why, but how we can rejoice in sufferings. See, we can rejoice in our sufferings if we properly know and understand that suffering will ultimately produce hope. So without properly understanding and knowing this, suffering just becomes suffering. There's no hope at the end, right? We're just being miserable. And James talks about it in a similar manner in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. I'll just read for us. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So again, in order for us to really rejoice in our sufferings, first we must know and understand that this suffering will produce hope. So what this means is that sometimes we have to remind ourselves, sometimes we have to preach to ourselves that yes, suffering will produce hope. It will produce hope. We have to preach to ourselves sometimes because we have to know that's the truth. But what is this hope about, right? But what is this hope about? And how does this hope makes us rejoice in suffering? In verse 5, Paul shows us how hope makes us rejoice in our sufferings. Paul writes in verse 5, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The hope here is the same hope as the one we found in verse 2, where he says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And again, this hope is about the assurance and confidence in the promises of God that we will stand in the last day because we have this eternal peace and this ongoing access to grace in which we stand. And he says that, and this hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So in other words, this hope, this assurance, and this confidence we have in the promises of God, this hope brings us to God's love. Right? It brings us to God's love. It reminds us and it assures us. This hope reminds us and reassures us that we are loved by God. That God loves us and that he died for us. And that he is with us and that we will stand firm till the last day because of this hope we have. And church, what is more comforting and assuring and satisfying than God's love for us? Right? What seriously is more comforting and satisfying than knowing that God loves us, that he died for us, that he will be with us till the end? And see, I know suffering, it's never fun. And I'm not here to minimize, sufferings. And I know I gave just two silly examples earlier, but suffering, sometimes it's really hard. And I understand that. But it's almost inevitable in life. I mean, Jesus says, you will suffer, right? He says, you will suffer. But But the scripture doesn't just leave us there, but as Paul says in Romans 5, but that suffering produces hope. So there is hope for us. And yes, because of the sin in this world, everyone suffers. And really, not just Christians, but really everyone. Everyone just suffers. But for us believers, we can hope in God. And I just want to close with this this verse where Paul says in Romans 8:28, Paul writes, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So church, we can rejoice in our suffering, knowing that the suffering will produce hope, and that hope will bring us closer to God's love, and that we'll be able to experience the fullness of God's love and his grace for us in our lives. Thank you, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day where we can worship with you, worship. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. God, I really pray, Lord, that would you really help us and allow us to really know and understand this truth, Lord, that the suffering will produce hope that brings us closer to you and to your love. And I pray that you will really empower us to live as Christians, Lord, not as the ones without hope, but as ones with hope, Lord, that we hope in you, Lord. So God, really help us. And I know some of us in this room are going through that very sufferings right now. And I pray, Father, for your special grace and your special mercy, Lord, upon them, that you will really comfort their souls and that you will remind them, yes, there is hope. Yes, there is hope. And we can even rejoice and even boast in our sufferings because of you, Lord. So God, I pray that you will powerfully remind us and shape us, Lord. We thank you for everything. In your name we pray. Amen.